Thank you, Father. We give you our attention so we can learn from you, Holy Spirit. You're our teacher, Holy Spirit. You will go far beyond what's shared this morning, and you will help us carry it. So, Father, we turn to you. We turn to you, Holy Spirit. Teach us and continue to teach us. Take us deeper into your presence. Take us deeper into wisdom. We thank you, Lord. Bring us the freedom in you that life is all about. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You're a bond slave, but you're the freest person on earth. There's always these antinomies in Jesus. An antinomy is two truths that are exact opposites, but that are still true. Only God can do that. Have two truths that seem to be completely opposite, but they're absolutely true. You're a bond slave and you're free. You're totally a bond slave. You are enslaved by choice. Bond slaves in the world are enslaved against their choice. But you are a bond slave by choice, and yet you are totally free at the same time. You have no chains. You have nothing holding you back. So you have a master, but you're the one that's totally free because you have a master. In the world, you have to get rid of the master to exercise some freedom, to be a freed man or a free man. In the kingdom, it's just the opposite. So we talked about things that are upside down in the kingdom. In order to be free, you need to be in covenant. You need to be in relationship with other people and closely related to your God in order to be totally free. People come to the church with the idea of the world. I am free to come to this church or not come to this church. I'm in charge. If I don't like the worship, I don't have to come here. If I don't like the preacher, I don't have to come here. If I don't like what he says, I don't have to come here. I don't have to come here. If I don't like the fact that he doesn't have a lot of hair, I don't care. I can choose. I can choose. I'm free to choose. Well, yes and no. You can choose, but you may be choosing against Holy Spirit, because if Holy Spirit tells you to go somewhere, be a part of a body of believers, to enter in, and you say, but I'm free, Holy Spirit will let you be free. He'll let you choose. He'll let you go out the door. He'll let you move somewhere. He'll let you do what you want to do. He'll let you have the priorities you want to have. But he'll constantly be knocking on your door and saying, actually, I have something better for you. To be part of a community, part of a vision, part of the body. You're not just a liver out there flopping on the floor. It doesn't work too well. You need to be part of a body, a functioning body. So, as you've heard me say many times, you see a lot of tumbleweed Christians. They tumble and they go from one thing to the next. They're a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind, but they say, I have so much wisdom. I know that this isn't the church for me. And then they go to the next church. I know this isn't the church for me. And then they go to the next place. That's not the church for me. And they go to the next place. And that's not the... And their whole life is one journey of not coming into covenant, not coming into relationship. Now, if you've bounced here from somewhere else, all you need to do is say, is this where I'm supposed to be? Ask Holy Spirit. Ask Him. And He'll answer you. He'll tell you whether you are supposed to be part of what's going on here or not. I want people plugged in here because of Holy Spirit, not because you like me. Because 5 days from now, you might not like me. 5 minutes from now, you might not like me. Especially if I say something you don't like. So if it's based on whether you like Pastor Murray Pat or myself, that can change in an instant. Whether you like the worship or not, or the worship leader, that could change. So never, ever base whether you are connected with a body of believers on what you like. You go to Holy Spirit and you ask for His wisdom. You ask for Him to show you what group am I supposed to be connected with, God? What influences am I supposed to have spiritually from others? You know, there are many people that we talk to all the time, and they're connected in a church, and they say, the church has no life. It doesn't speak into my heart. But my family started there, and I have gone there for 20 years because my mom and dad, they were members there for 40 years before that. And so it's a family thing, and we just need to do that, and it's just the way it is. If they've never asked Holy Spirit, it may not be where they should be. The children being brought up here, we believe, you know, that they're going to be brought up to go to the nations. But there'll come a time and a place where they will have to make a recommitment to what God has. They'll have to ask Holy Spirit, am I supposed to be connected to the body that my parents have been connected to? Are they still on fire? Are they still after the Word of God? Are they still wanting to reach out to someone outside the walls of the church? And they have that, they should have that right to make that, you know, determination before Holy Spirit. But it better be Holy Spirit. You don't just leave out of, well, my parents go there. I don't want to go there. They could watch what I'm doing. That's not a good reason to not go to a place. I think you know what I'm talking about. You've seen it across the body of Christ. If people were led by the Spirit, they'd be sons and daughters of the Spirit of God. They wouldn't just be using their own wisdom, their own preferences, their own likes and dislikes. That's one thing about Facebook that's a little troubling. You know, like. You know, even with that, maybe we should ask Holy Spirit once in a while whether we really should like something that's being put on there. Oh boy, look out. Okay. So, you can be a bond slave. In fact, I recommend it. Back in the ancient times, they used to have the slave that was free. If he wanted to be the slave of someone, again, he was a free man, but he wanted to be a slave again because of the benefits of being a slave. There are benefits to being slave to a good slave master. Food, clothing, shelter, purpose. You have something to do. Why be a free slave and just wander around and do nothing? Not have a job. So some would offer themselves as a slave again to the very master that released them if he was a good master. They would offer themselves to him again. Seems crazy, doesn't it? But he was a good master. He treated the slave with respect. Yes, he was under him, but he treated him with graciousness, mercy. Amazing qualities in the master drew the slave into relationship with the master. To the point that when he says, "You're free," the slave goes, "Uh-uh, I don't want to be." "Well, no, you can go. I want to stay. I want to be a slave to you the rest of my life. But I just freed you. But I want to be a slave." So what they would do is they'd offer their ear. And the ear would be offered. They'd put it on a block. They would take some kind of a spike, and they would mark the ear. You know, they would spike the ear. And that was a mark that I'm a free man, but I belong to this slave master out of choice. I'm choosing this slave master because he's so gracious, he's so loving, he's so kind to me. He takes care of me, he provides for me. Shelter, food, clothing, purpose, something to do with my life. I'm not wandering around as a free person in my own right. I've decided I'm a bond slave. And they would offer themselves to the very master that they could be free from. That's the way we are in Jesus. When we do that, amazing benefits happen. You've heard me speak of honor leads to alignment, leads to favor. Everybody wants the favor. How you get there is only one path. Honoring God, all the covenants to him, all the covenants that he has with others, you come into alignment with him, and suddenly favor starts entering into your life. Amazing favor. Healing. Deliverance. Inner healing. Financial things happen that are amazing, beyond what money you can make, what job you have. It's incredible when you're in alignment with God because you've honored what he honors. When you present yourself as a bond slave to him out of choice, "Here I am, you direct my life. I want to partner with you in directing my life. I want to throw out my ideas, but you'll tell me which ones really will work. I'm going to be in an ongoing conversation with Holy Spirit as I go through life. I'm not just going to choose on principles or what I think or opinions. I'm going to say, Holy Spirit, based on your word, I have two choices here. What's the best one? Lead me, guide me." And it's miraculous how he does it. "I have five choices." It's miraculous how he gets you through the right door. That's true freedom. Ladies, gentlemen, sons, daughters, that's true freedom. That's what I want you to have. I don't want you to settle. I don't want you to be fooled in thinking, especially when we're young, we think, "Well, I need to break away from everything that I've learned. I need to do what I need to do. I need to make my own mistakes." That's freedom. If I make my own mistakes, think how that sounds. I'd like to not learn from the mistakes of my parents, my leaders, my older friends, those ahead of me in the spirit. I'd like to not learn what they've learned. I want to mess up myself so I can call my my errors my own mistakes. I made my own flops, flounders, failings. I did it myself. I was stupid all by myself. I didn't need anybody else. Think how that sounds. You know what God's way would be? Older teaching the younger, so the younger don't make as many mistakes. They don't want to make the mistakes of their parents, their older leaders, and so on. Older in the spirit, teaching the younger in the spirit. These little guys that are being brought up in this body, we want them to make less mistakes than we made. be more honoring and in alignment with God so they can have the favor on their lives and pass it out to others. They won't just selfishly take it for themselves. Some of you have made selfish mistakes. I have made selfish mistakes. They won't have to make. Because they're going to learn from not only us as parents, they're going to learn from the culture that honors God. They're going to learn from a culture that's on fire for God. It goes to the nations. They don't just talk about it. That's important. That's important for these little fries. Just want to hug and kiss them right now. Let's just end church. And I'll go give a couple of hugs and kisses. Do a little nuzzling. Little nappy noo-noo. Snoozer doozer. So you see on here, we went over the last time. I said it would be 2 weeks, but Pastor Murray Pat was gracious and let me speak this week. Men and women who embrace change are free. We need to change. All the time. God needs to adjust us and adjust our path. So often, if it says, you know, if we think we're not sinners, we're lying to ourselves. But we are sinners saved by grace, so we don't have to make the mistake that sinners make. Holy Spirit makes up all the difference. He can change us to be more in alignment with God, to honor God better, and change the course of our life. If we listen to him. So change, being open to and obeying by receiving the power of the Spirit, what the Word says, logos, and what the Spirit is saying, rhema, brings about change. Many churches this morning are speaking about what the logos says. You can go to many churches in Stark County, in Ohio, throughout the world, they're teaching what the logos says. Principle form, follow the principles, you'll do well. But that's not all that the Bible talks about. It also talks about what the Spirit is saying. He's actually speaking to us moment by moment, day by day. And that will help us bring about the kind of powerful changes in our life that line up with God. Those two together. Many say Holy Spirit, but they only go with the principles. Some say Holy Spirit, and they forget about the principles. I'll just listen to Holy Spirit. And some of those people end up in some pretty crazy situations because they hear themselves, and to them it sounds like Holy Spirit to them. That's Holy Spirit. Yep. Hey, it's got my voice, but I know it's him. And if they had the Word, they would see that some of those things are not Holy Spirit to start with. So it's got to be your voice, or it's got to be the voice of the enemy, or the voice of the world. There are other influences that come upon our thinking, come upon our hearts. We've got to filter them, sort them out. That's why, you know, we're supposed to go to Holy Spirit a number of times. Make sure it's his voice. Make sure it's what he's saying. Make sure it matches with the Word of God. We're not just freelancers. Oh, it sounds like Holy Spirit to me. Jump off that cliff. Yeah. Men and women of covenant are free. Covenant with the Father includes marriage covenant, covenant with family leadership, covenant with family, covenant with spiritual leadership, covenant with spiritual family, covenant with life-giving friends. Life-giving friends. Not just the list on Facebook, but life-giving friends. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, the Bible says. Those are the true friends. You have friends, and then you have faithful friends. Friends that would wound you for your good. To end up doing the will of God. Those are true friends. They'll say, hey, I think you're making a mistake here. You better check it out with Holy Spirit a second time, a third time. This seems like a mistake to me to marry an unbeliever. It really does. It just seems like this shouldn't... they'll come to Jesus. It just seems like it's not what God would have for you. I think there's scriptures about it and everything. That's a friend. Willing to go up against your emotions when they're flowing so free and strong in a certain direction. You know, and suddenly the friend steps in and goes, no! How could you be my friend and stand in the way of this? Because I'm a true friend. I'm going to step in when your emotions are running the train. I was going to say instead of your brain, but we're talking about Holy Spirit, so I won't say that. Covenant with the Father includes marriage covenant, covenant with family leadership. Now, sometimes family leadership's off. If I would have checked with my family leadership when I was first a believer, on some of the things, they would be off. So you make an appeal, and you trust God. You trust God and how it works out. It's amazing what he'll do through the power of appeal to those in family leadership in particular that are not so thrilled about what you're about to do. In Pastor Mary Pat's case, it was her father, Pops, who's now 91. When we first started taking mission trips, we would say, hey, would you like to get together for prayer? He's a stout Catholic. And would you like to pray before we take off? Yeah, I'd like to come over, but only 5 minutes in prayer. Okay, that's fine. Just come on over. She's going to be leaving the country for 3 weeks. So come on over, Pops, Mimi. We'll pray. So we get in a circle. I'd pray, you know, and he would say, why don't you just stay here? Lots of needs here in America. Well, we do stay here most of the year. This is 2 or 3 weeks that we're leaving. Well, if you don't bring her back, he looks at me, I'll break your legs. I took it in a loving manner. He has changed through appeal. Now, when we offer to pray with him, you know, about the trip, the upcoming trip, wherever she's going to go, he doesn't worry about me. So he worries about his daughter. Rightfully so. He'll pray willingly. And he'll say, nice prayer, Willie. That's what he calls me, endearingly. Made it up himself. Willie. Then I got my hair cut a little shorter, and he said, you look like Bruce Willis. So he said, Bruce, that's your new name, Bruce. So I never know when I show up at Pop's house whether I'm Bruce or I'm Willie, but I take them both, you know, to heart. But when we pray together now, he enjoys the prayer. He believes she's going to be protected by prayer, by God. He gives to the trips. Excuse me. That's the power of appeal. Come on. And it's happened over years. If I would have listened to him the first time in fear, he's going to break my legs. I need my legs. That wouldn't have worked too well, would it? Give in to the fearful thought that what if something happened to Pastor Mary Pat and suddenly Pops is upset with me and may never talk to me, you know, or some other fearful thing. But no, appealing to him, the nations will be affected. Let me give you a testimony when we get back. That was another thing. When we got back from trips, he could take 5 minutes, and that's it, I'll give you 5 minutes. It was 5 minutes for prayer at the beginning when we left for the trip and 5 minutes when we got back. Go ahead, give me 5-minute report, 5-minute report. Well, you know what these mission trips are like. How do you give a five-minute report? How do you even give the highlights in 5 minutes? But we would try to honor it. We stretched it, as you would guess we would. Stretch those 5 minutes. And he'd be interested in some parts of it. He'd start asking questions because he's traveled to various parts of the world. China, Egypt. So there would be some interest just in the travel. So we found better and better ways to talk about the trips and insert the healings and salvations and deliverances and things in the conversation while we were talking about the culture. You know how, you know, in India where they have these 17-foot tall statues of monkey gods. You know, you probably saw a little bit of that in China. Yeah, well, they had this in China. We'd get him talking and we would talk and suddenly things are being inserted in. Wisdom of Holy Spirit helping us. Now he wants to talk for hours. That's quite a change. From 5 minutes to go ahead, tell me everything that happened. That's the power of appealing to those that are in family authority we want to be in family covenant with. You can still be in covenant, just stretch it a little. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the wisdom of appeal. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you have faced family members that aren't too thrilled about this or that and the other. I'm telling you, you can appeal, and Holy Spirit will back you up. Covenant with spiritual leadership. That's hard for some people. Because some people think that spiritual leadership just wants honor for themselves. That Pastor Bill, he wants to be on every video and every flyer, and he wants to lead worship all the time, and yeah, that guy. Listen, I wouldn't be in ministry if I wanted honor. If I wanted honor, I wouldn't pick ministry. Okay? I'm smarter than that. Give me a little credit. I'd pick like Bill Gates' job. You know, that's a guy that gets honor. Because everybody, you know, wants a little float me alone. A little cold cash makes the heart warm. That guy gets honor everywhere he goes. Maybe the wrong kind, but he gets honor. So, No. You don't go into ministry to get honor for yourself unless you're absolutely crazy. I'm having fun with you. But you want God to receive the honor. No matter what you do, you want Him to receive the honor. If you're true to Him and you're true to Holy Spirit, you want that really to happen. When I sing about those things, I know who I'm singing in the presence of. It's not just for you, guys. I'm singing those things out to a holy God. So I can't sing, oh, honor to your name, God, and praise to your name. And then, you know, hey, come on. Bring it to me. You know, that's the worst. That's terrible. That's hypocritical. I want Him to receive the honor and praise and glory. That's why I sing that way. I want you to be involved in that too, giving it to Him in your own lives. Because honor leads to alignment, leads to favor. I want you to have favor, but I want you to get there the proper way. Because that's the favor that lasts. That's the favor that's fruit for eternity. That's what I want for you. It's a dad's heart. I didn't come up with it. He gave it to me. He gives it to each person that cares about other people. I love it. I didn't have that. I was selfish, even as a young Christian, very selfish. I wanted to just do specials at churches, go in and do specials. Why? Because the special guy that did the special from another place, you walk in and man, you know, everybody wants to hear that guy, what he has to share. Whatever he shares from his mouth, whatever he shares from his singing or playing the guitar, everybody wants to hear it. It's like when we bring in a speaker from Africa. Everybody's listening. every word, the accent, and everything, and enjoying it. And they'll chase down Pastor Jose or Pastor Samuel, and they'll give a big hug. Oh, thanks for coming. The normal people that speak up here, hey, good sermon. Yeah, that was pretty good. That was all right. It's just the way it is. And it's okay. It's okay. But what you're used to, it's hard for you to honor and keep honoring and keep honoring. It's all right. As long as you honor what Holy Spirit speaks to you, that's what I want. I hope you just embrace that, and that'll be the favor that lasts. That's what I want. So, compromise, convenience, comfort, control, criticism, and competition are not components of covenant. Say that 20 times fast. Compromise, convenience, comfort, control, criticism, competition are not components of covenant. Those kinds of covenants are more like contracts. Well, if you do thus and so, I will do thus and so. That's why a marriage is not a contract. If you do your part, I'll do my part. Now, we do that sometimes, but that's not a covenant way of doing things. In God's way of covenanting in marriage, I will do for you. I love you. I will do for you. Because that's the way God does in His covenant with us. I'm going to do for you. I'm your father. I'm your provider. I'm your 700 names and titles that you need for every need you have. I'm a covenant God, and I can help you keep the covenant to me. That's how giving I am, how generous I am. When we do that in covenant, wow. Amazing. When you offer yourselves to the body of Christ that way, without a whole lot of talk and reservations on. Here I am. What do you need help with? When I've done that, amazing things happen in my life. Incredible things happen in my life. Honor to God. Alignment in my life and favor flows. Right, Gabriel? I'll take that as an amen. Now, does that mean that we aren't supposed to ever question it? No, that's appeal. Appeal. Go ahead and appeal. I'm not sure I should go on this mission trip that you thought would be good for me. Appeal. There have been several people that said, I just don't think I can go to Ghana this time. Okay, well, let's talk about it. Let's ask Holy Spirit about it. And sure enough, they weren't supposed to go. It was fine. But they still had a heart for Ghana. They cried when the trip was announced. They cried when the people came back and they saw the pictures. Why? Because they cared about Ghana. They just weren't supposed to be on one particular trip. It's awesome when Holy Spirit does it. I love it because it's many times all a surprise. Covenants can be created within the confines of a culture of honor. Lots of C's here. I want you to remember lots of C's. If you haven't noticed that so far, change, covenant, character, culture of honor. Remember the C's, and there are a lot of good P's too. So it's not your P's and Q's, it's your C's and P's, or your P's and C's. P's and carrots, see? Good for you. So we've covered change, covenant, character. Next would be commitment. Before we go, leave character, though, if someone could read Galatians 5, 16 through 26. That was one I added from our list the last time. Who has Galatians 5, 16 through 26? Galatians 5, someone have that? Verse 16, read it out. nice and loud, you know, of lusts of the flesh. You spend your time trying to avoid those. That's what a lot of places do. They make lists. Avoid this. Stop this. Quit this. Don't do this. Don't do that. You won't see any lists here because we believe that we can come to a very good leading of the Spirit together in areas if we follow the lead of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. If you're sowing into those things rather than trying to avoid the other things, you end up in a better place. So in other words, where it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is inside of you if you know Jesus. He's powerful. He can do all the things in you you can't do for yourself. Ever hear that the Spirit is willing but the flesh is weak? What does the church worldwide focus on? Oh, the flesh is weak. Boy, I sure have seen that in my life. And they worry about the flesh is weak. If they sow it into the Spirit is willing, incredible things happen. The weaknesses become stronger. And suddenly areas that were weakness are now strengths because they said, hey, the Spirit's willing inside of me. I've got some weaknesses, but I'm not going to focus on those, trying to make those better. I'm going to listen to the willing Spirit, and He's going to change the weaknesses for me. So rather than saying, no, I'm not going to do that. No, shoot, I did that again. I did it again. Rather than doing that whole deal, give in to the willingness of the Spirit. He wants to take us places, have us do things, minister to people, put out a hand to speak healing, take risks. We sow into those kinds of things, we become radical like that, and suddenly some of these weaknesses start to pass away. They start to become way less on the list, and we don't have to work on them quite as much. We're not going to give them the focus because we're focusing on the willing Spirit inside of us who can accomplish all these C's and P's and every other letter of the alphabet that has a good word attached to it. So in 2015, I challenge you to let yourself take a risk with the willing Spirit. The Spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. The Spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. The Spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Rather than, the Spirit's willing, the flesh is weak! Flesh is weak! Emphasize what God emphasizes. The Spirit is willing. You can't be stopped. The Spirit, it says, what is the one verse it says? Where's the one about? Oh, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. In other words, if you're led by the Spirit, there's no limit. There's no limit to what He can do. We constantly tell ourselves, man, there's just a limit to this. I mean, come on. Gentle? I can only be so gentle. Kind? I can only be so kind. Only give so much love. I mean, I can only have so much joy. I can only have so much peace. I just can't be all this that God wants me to be. So we go, the Spirit's willing. But the flesh is weak! But actually, it says, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You have no limit. There's no limit to what the Spirit can do inside of you. So your character, is what this was about under this heading, has no limit to what it can be like, how much it can be like Jesus. But we tend to try to limit it because we think our flesh is so weak. Don't let yourself be limited. Take the risks. Let the Holy Spirit lead you to new depths and new heights all at the same time. Okay, point five, men and women of compassion. That's the new one on the list if you're taking notes. Men and women of compassion. If someone would read John 13, 34 and 35, raise your hand for that. Thank you. John 15, 12 through 17. Someone raise their hand for that. Okay. Rebecca. And 2 John 1, 6. Who will take 2 John 1, 6? Andy. All right. John 13, 34 and 35. Twelve and 17. Nice and loud.
A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another.
Okay, John 15.
Verse 12, my commandment is this, love each other as I have loved you. 17, this is my command, love each other.
2 John 1, 6.
And this is love, that we walk according to this commandment. This is the commandment. This is you have heard from the beginning.
Okay, so which comes first, love or obedience? We won't take a vote. Love comes first. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved to my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Years ago, I said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he is that loveth me. So I tried to keep the commandments and stay on the line, you know? And I found out I didn't do that very well. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. I will show my love for God if I keep the commandments. Now I read it totally different. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Starts with love. I just show my love through obedience. So I fall deeper in love with Jesus, and I find myself more obedient. Incredible. I mean, all I have to do is fall deeper in love with Jesus. I mean, really be intimate with Jesus, care about what Jesus cares about, and I'll be a more obedient saint. I will be on the tightrope, and I can jump on the tightrope. I can do twirls on the tightrope. Because it's not the tightrope that's the problem. It's whether I'm loving him. When you love someone, you go get the Valentine flowers and the card, and you can't wait to go get them, and you can't wait to give them. And yet, you know, you make sure that flowers are right there so they can see them and get the card just right. And then you put their favorite little candy somewhere in the house with another card. It's kind of fun. A lot of fun. Or, I gotta go get a card. And I better get some flowers. You know, when I'm at Bueller's buying my gifts, I watch the men come in. I can tell which men. I can tell which men are buying the flowers by the spirit and which men are buying the flowers by the wallet. You just watch for a while. I'm not judging. I'm just watching. And you could tell the men that are dancing in to get the flowers. They're toeing the line. And they have no problem. They're just, woo! And then you see the men taking out the wallet. Oh, my God. This is going to set me back a ways. I don't know if you've been to Bueller's, but they have the cheap flowers right as you walk in the door. Why do they put them there? Because, oh, that's right, I need flowers. It's Valentine's Day. Or, I need flowers. It's Mother's Day. Or, Sweetest Day. Or all those days for you women. Well, the people walking in the store, the guy can see. Oh, flowers. Boom. Oh, that's right. But the guy that already has it on his heart, he knows to go to the back of the store. Back where there's a case with doors you have to open to get into the good gifts that are behind that case. There's a counter there where they'll wrap it in expensive paper, put it in a box so that you don't spill it on the way home. And those people back there, sir, may I help you? I told them yesterday, I'm looking for the perfect gift. Well, I can't help you with that, but we have the selection behind the doors for you to look at. Now, this is one of the guys that seeks out the treasure of the good gifts in the back of the store. Looks at the rack of cards and chooses just the right one. Because I'm in love. I'm not in being forced on some kind of line to toe the line. I'm in love. And that's the way it is with Jesus. When you're in that kind of love, when you worship, you can't stay with just the words of the song. Are you kidding me? It's too limiting. There is no law. You have to be free. So you go off the page, whether the people can follow you or not. Whether the people can follow you or not. You just go because you're in love. You're just expressing your love to Jesus out of worship to his name. And you go off the page. And the older I get, the more I go off the page. The more I'm not satisfied with the words that are on the page. I have to sing beyond and let the Holy Spirit give me the words to sing back to him. Wow, what a privilege. What a joy. That's when you're in love. You take risks. You do things because you just love to please the one that you care about. So that's compassion then that can be shared to others. When we love God that way, two commandments. Love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, strength, everything inside of you. And love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus boiled down the whole Old Testament. You want to know the whole Old Testament? It's those two commandments. Boiled down to two commandments. Love your neighbor as yourself. When you're dancing on, in love with Jesus, you're loving him like you would love yourself. Giving to him like you would give to yourself. And that's what pleases him, and that's what splashes on other people. It gets that compassion splashed on them. When we go to the nations, because we love Jesus so much, not just obeying the commission to go, but because we love Jesus so much, we touch these hands, we touch these precious ones and say, Jesus can help you in your desperate situation. And it's awesome because it's the compassion of God inside of us. We can't take credit for it. We can't say, well, yes, I go to the nations. I'm obeying the Great Commission. I can't help but go to the nations because I love Jesus and he loves those people and he wants to touch people. And because he touched me and loves me, I love them. And I grow in love when I'm there. It just grows. The compassion grows. Because I have to keep changing to be more like Jesus. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You may never have even been overseas. You may have been with another person and the compassion just grows inside of you for that person and their situation. And suddenly, you're taking the risk to share the greatest message that there is. Jesus died for you. I used to draw out the gospel on a gospel illustration that I memorized. It's called the bridge illustration. The navigators use it all over the world. I found out that I can only use that like once, twice, maybe a 2 or 3 year period. People didn't want to see me draw something out. I'd say, hey, do you have like 5 minutes? I just want to draw something out here. It's about the Bible. I really don't have time for that. Sorry, I got to go. Got to go. You're busy. Everybody's busy. Just a simple request. Hey, you know, we were just talking a little bit about Jesus. I've got a quick 5-minute illustration. Could I show you? I got to go. But you share a testimony about Jesus healing someone. You'd share a testimony about your own healing of an ankle with 3 broken bones and there was no surgery. You share about malaria being healed by a suddenly, and Pastor Mary Pat was close to death. People will sit and listen. And then you can share more about how they can know Jesus. It's awesome when it's real inside of us that compassion touches other people. And the sixth thing is men and women of conversation. We've already gone through this section quite lengthy. Romans 8, 13 through 17. When you're led by the Spirit, you're the sons of God. Being led by the Spirit is such the important thing in the Christian life. And there are so many people that are only led by the verses they know. We have to have the Spirit that's contained in those verses lead us. We have to have the Rhema Spirit of God speaking to us moment by moment to lead us, for us to end up being led by the Spirit. And that's the conversation we have with Jesus. Conversation goes on all day long. Conversation with Holy Spirit should go on all day long. It's not a once a week thing in church. Oh yeah, I felt something in the Spirit when the worship was going on. No, it's being led by him all day long. Knowing when we're off and letting him correct that course. Knowing when we're on and celebrating it with him. Because he's so willing to talk to us throughout the day. And then you already heard me share up there about dreams and visions and pictures that are powerful. They're not just something, oh, that's interesting. They're actually powerful. We can share them out, speak them out, and they're like words right from heaven. They're power from heaven that can change a situation or a life right in front of us. Love that. So Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God, would be part of that conversation. Slowing down for a moment, asking God what he thinks about some decision we're about ready to make. Not picking out your socks, but it could be picking out your life course or picking out your life partner. Or it could be picking out something during the day that's going to change the day for someone else in a positive way. Picking an attitude that matches up with the B attitudes picking words that are words of life, not words of death. Sometimes we make the wrong choice and then being willing to admit that we've done that. It's an ongoing conversation with Jesus. In Psalm 121:1 and Psalm 123:1, it says, "Lift up my eyes." That's what I would encourage you to do. Lift up your eyes beyond earth, beyond your own thinking, beyond your own opinions, beyond what makes sense to your mind. Lift up your eyes to the hills where the strength really comes from. Lift up your eyes on Holy Spirit, where you're going to be empowered, where you're going to be led in truth. Point 7, men and women who obey the great commandment. Matthew 22, 34 through 40. Mark 12, 28 through 34. Those are the great commandment that I talked to you about. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, will, emotions, everything. And your neighbor as yourself. Everything from the Old Testament boiled down into two commandments within one and called the Great Commandment. It's not too hard. It's not rocket science. It's love. Loving him enough to see that this Great Commandment is empowering to love God beyond myself and love other people beyond my comfort zone, as we shared earlier today. Point 8, men and women who obey the Great Commission. You'll have such freedom in your life if your life is about helping other people with their eternity problem. All those people in India looking up to those 30-foot monkey gods and thinking that's their solution? Of course it isn't. And we bring in truth. We bring in life. We bring in real power. They see Jesus in our eyes. Makes a difference. But we don't just do it because he commanded us to do it. We loved him first. We can't help but want to bring Jesus to those desperate people. So the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, yeah, they are commandments. But for us, it's a love fest. It's something we love to do. We can't wait. Run to the nations. So as we shared, we're going to India next month. There are people there that our paths will cross with that it will change their eternity. It will change their destiny. That's exciting. People going to Mozambique this summer. It's going to change some destinies. Change some people's lives and their generations. When you change one person, you're not just changing that person. You have the potential of changing a whole lot of people because they're connected to people in generations. When people say, well, I've only led one person to Jesus my whole life, and they put their head down, and I said, no, you haven't. What do you mean? I know the person. It was Mary. And I led her to Jesus in 1976. I said, but Mary, is she still following Jesus? Yeah. Well, she shared with cousin Herma and uncle, Freddie and Aunt Ralph. You know, she shared with them, and then they shared with the connections in their family and friends beyond that, and then some of them got on fire for Jesus and went, and did this and did that. No. You didn't just share with one person. You actually started a fire that burned down an old house, and now they built something better. Thank you for sharing with that one person. Now, maybe share with another one, but now that you know that one doesn't just represent one, it represents untold numbers of people. You're going to get to heaven, you're going to say, oh, there's the one I shared with. And then a whole group is going to come your way and tackle you in love. Wait, I only shared with No. They should, and you're responsible. Ah! There's going to be a big love pile on you. Well, you know, they'll probably go to Jesus first. Because you were willing to take the risk to share the powerful gospel. So, Father, I'm asking that we have true freedom. All these different points are just points unless you empower them. As we're led by the Spirit, we're the sons and daughters that you're welcoming into your family, leading every day, every moment. Thank you, God. We need it. We need it. Our purpose and our destiny is so big, but we have to be led by your Spirit to get there. We want to honor you. We want to honor your covenants that you have for us because they're freeing. We're bond slaves who are freed men. Thank you, Jesus, that we can be both and totally led by you in all of these things. We double check so we don't think we're just hearing our voice and acting on it and saying it's Holy Spirit. We double check, triple check. We ask others that we respect. We ask those faithful friends who will give wounds. And then if it's really you, we step out into it. And that's alignment. That always leads to favor of some kind. Fruit in the Spirit, fruit in the kingdom, fruit for our family, beyond what we could ever think, fruit for our finances, so often, God. Thank you, God, of all you're teaching us. I pray we would step into more true freedom. I bless each person here with that. May they be entirely empowered by Holy Spirit to reach this wonderful destiny that you have designed specifically for them. They are on plan A, even if there have been some sidetracks, some off tracks, some crazy things that have happened in their lives. They're still on plan A, God, and you can bring them to their destiny. Thank you, Jesus. I speak that into them. I speak that over them because you are a life-giving God through the words we speak out. We give you praise. We honor you always. We bend our knee to you, Jesus. You're so worthy. In your name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed this day and every day.